Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. From roof repair to emergency plumbing and more, done well. So the next time you have a home project, leave it to the pros. Get started at Angie.com.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Here we go. It is our number two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. And joining us now for a football conversation from matchquarters.com, he's Cody Alexander. He's a good follow on Twitter at @the_coach_A. And matchquarters.com, a defensive think tank here. And here is the guy, Cody Alexander. Good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
Doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Man, thanks for joining us. So how would you answer this question? How much better could the Cowboys have been defensively with a more optimized game plan and coaching?
I do think that there is some wiggle room for them to have been a little bit better than what they were. I mean, they lost pretty much their powerhouse in Micah Parsons, which we kind of knew that. I thought there were a lot of problems in the secondary that – typically, when you get a lot of problems in the secondary, primarily focused on communication, a lot of that has to go with coaching. But the talent probably wasn't there where they wanted it, but it could have probably been a lot better than it was.
Where did Matt Eberflus go most wrong? What do you think overall about his approach to trying to get this thing figured out?
Well, I look at him in a sense of kind of, you guys aren't the Houston Texans. Houston Texans don't want to do very much. They pretty much have the least diverse defense, but they have a bunch of athletes that line up correctly. They run and hit. They do multiple different things. It looks simple, but there's nuance to it. I think what happened here is a lot of zone cover three, which if you ask any offensive coordinator at any level of football, that's the coverage they want to see, with a very a changeup of cover two, Tampa two based. This style has kind of been old, and you could see it was kind of getting older as the NFL meta has kind of flipped defensively and offensively really within the last 5 years.
So when you're looking now at the coordinators that one, the Cowboys have already shown interest in, like the Jim Leonards and Jones and Edo or the Cleveland Browns coach as well, Who do you like? Like, what's the good fit here to try and marry the personnel? They might have a lot of turnover with the personnel room as well, but is there a candidate that you think should lead the charge?
Well, I know that a lot of people around here wanted Brian Flores, and if that's the style of play that they want, the ultra-aggressive and then playing a lot of zone, I think really people need to understand that defense is a paradox in the sense that it is the most aggressive across the board. It's about 50% blitz rate across the board. Doesn't matter down and distance. But then they're also going to run almost 80% zone. And so that, to a lot of people, I think, is a little bit odd. So it's very much a stylistic choice to go that route. I think Jim Leonard is a great choice. He's a he's former NFL player. He's a Rex Ryan guy. On top of that, he worked under Wilcox, who's a very well-respected coach within the college ranks, who's also kind of tied to Aranda. So a lot of these, like, defensive kind of people who are smart, people that really like what the scheme that they're doing, he's been injected into that. And then obviously with the Vance Joseph and kind of learning that Wade Phillips front structure with all the ways that they can do things in the back end. I think he makes a lot of sense in terms of like looking forward and kind of being a little bit more on the kind of complex side.
Cody, I'm going to give you the opportunity to be a general manager here, and I want you to give me two or three questions you would ask a defensive coordinator, whether you would hire him or not.
The first thing I would do is I would ask, how do you view coaching? Do you view coaching as essentially the players need to line up and then they need to do exactly what you're asking, or are you a teacher first? Because I think that's the most important thing in the modern game now. I think that's what we've seen the players come over, is they don't want to be just given tasks. They go out and do it, and then maybe they get told good job. I think they want to know the why. They want to know the how. They want to know the adjustments off of that. So I really want to know, first off, what are you going to do in terms of how do you approach these meeting rooms? Or do you approach them as a classroom, or you basically sit up there and you lecture them and you give them a playbook and then you tell them to go off? That would be my number one thing. Number two, I would specifically ask, how do you tie the back end with the front? And the reason why you do that is because a lot of coaches are essentially learn one thing. They learn the front and run fits, or they'll learn coverages, but then they don't know how to fit the run. And I think you kind of can expose a lot of coaches with, how do you tie things in from front end to back end? Do they work together? Are they divorced? And then if they're divorced, how do you match up and make sure at the end of the day, everything flows together? I think that would be the second thing. And then the third thing I would just ask is, how are you going to approach the players from day one? And are you going to try, and how are you going to motivate them? Because I think a lot of the things schematically are going to be stylistic to the coach, but in terms of reaching the players teaching-wise, schematically the most important thing is tying everything together. And then three is, how are you going to reach the players?
All right, so we do have some news, Coach A, that the Cowboys are going to be bringing in former Arizona Cardinals head coach Jonathan Gannon. He's going to be interviewed for the D.C. job. So will UNT and DeSoto legend former Ravens defensive coordinator Zach Orr. So Jonathan Gannon and Zach Orr, two new names to add to the Cowboys defensive coordinator search. Anything initially that you can tell us about Gannon or Orr that you like or don't like?
Yeah, I thought Gannon was trying to do something really experimental in Arizona. I don't think he brings that with him. He, if you think of him as like a Fangio adjacent coach, but he's more quarters based. So you're going to see a lot of the same front structures, a lot of the same movements, but on the back end, it's going to be a lot more quarters instead of kind of they do a lot of cover three. Everybody runs cover three, but not as much as the cover two, cover six rotations that you see. Or to me, it's interesting. A lot of conflicting things coming out of Baltimore with him is, okay, Dean Pease kind of cleaned the defense up last year, or was it Orr kind of figuring out and getting his feet? They struggled this year again, especially in the secondary. So, again, that's something that you want to make sure that you look at. You know, you can't just run everything through Kyle Hamilton. What else were you doing? So those would be the things that I would say about those two.
It's Cody Alexander, MatchQuarters.com, here with us on The Fan.
Cody, what do you make of the Cowboys? Kind of, it seems like they're looking a lot at these passing game coordinators, the guys that are kind of familiar with the back end of the defense. How do you like that strategy for the Cowboys right now?
I think that's just where modern football is right now. I mean, the quarterback is getting paid $50 to $60 million. He's not getting paid that to then hand the ball off. I think we all kind of know that passing is the most efficient way of scoring in the NFL, and then also moving the ball around. Yes, you do have to run, but at the end of the day, it's the passing league. And I think that goes back to, if you're going to then meet where the offense is, you have to know how to defend them on the back end. And that's why you're seeing a lot more passing coordinators, a lot more defensive back coaches getting an opportunity to be coordinators, where a while ago it was pretty much you had to be a former linebacker coach or a former D-line coach because you had to stop the run. Now it's all about trying to stop the pass and then being innovative in the way that you're doing that.
Cody, if I asked you about, you're hiring a defensive coordinator, the next most important position on the defensive staff for you?
I think it's going to be your linebacker coaches. And the reason why I think it's going to be the linebacker coach is because you're tying everything together. That's typically where the green dot's going to be. And I think if you just go and you look at a lot of these teams that are really successful at the defensive side, that middle part of the defense and that connecting of the chain those are the teams that are really, really good when you look at it down the line. And so I think, to me, that's where you can kind of find that secret sauce or that glue for your defense. That's going to be the one that I would then look at.
Cody, what do you think of the way the Cowboys offense handled different defensive schemes this year, like the Vikings game and how that thing played out? Do you end up analyzing it or have opinions rise to the surface while you're studying defenses on how some of the offenses are trying to solve it specific to the Cowboys?
Well, yes, because I think the thing with defenses, it's all reactionary. I think that's one of the unique things. You mentioned the Vikings. I think the Vikings are unique in the sense that they're going to set the table. So they're going to basically line up a bunch of people on the line. They're not going to give you a lot of opportunities to then think about, okay, well, what are some things that we can do off of that? I think that's a really innovative way, but I think there's a lot of defenses that are kind of scared of doing that. So, yeah, when you're watching this and you're looking at this, I think, too, with the problem that the Cowboys can give you is when you have two really good receivers on the field, how are you going to split up your secondary? And we've seen this kind of play out against the Vikings are another great example of two really good receivers. And it's when you allocate two players, and not necessarily as a one, everybody thinks it's man coverage, but it's not. But even if you allocate a certain zone over the top, there, you really can't do that in cover three. So what it really allows you to do, forces you to do, is really play a lot more split field coverage or two high safety looks. And so what that ends up doing is that it invites the run. So that's where you have to, that kind of balance of how are we going to defend both of these receivers, but then also not let you gash us for 6 to 8 yards every time.
Hey, Cody, what gets you really upset with us media scouts? Is it the fact that we don't know what the hell we're talking about when it comes to coverages and things like that, and we tweet things out that it's like, no, dummy, that's really not what it is? Do you ever, like, what's the thing we get wrong the most when it comes to these defenses?
Well, coverage is one of the big ones. I think everybody – quarters coverage to me is the one where everybody kind of messes up and they don't necessarily understand the nuance. A lot of people want to default, especially at the NFL level, that this is your prevent cover four, that everybody's ran forever. There's a lot more nuance to it. There's a lot more matching off of that. People don't know the difference between like quarters and palms, which palms is just a fancy way of saying you're playing more of a match cover two. So if somebody, the slot attacks a flat, the corner is going to come down on it. There's a bunch of different versions. You can also run hybrid coverages now. There's a bunch of them. Buffalo just did it to the Jaguars where they play two man on one side, but then they play zone. In fact, they played quarters on the other side, and it really messed Trevor Lawrence up. So I think we're coverages right now, yes, are the one that really bothers me is like on the flip side of where people always pause a clip and they show an open receiver. Yet yeah. The quarterback's not even looking at the receiver.
Right.
And when you're playing, you know, over, I think it was almost 68%, somewhere around that. So basically a third of all defenses were playing zone this year. So when you're playing zone and you're using vision, those DBs are going to be moving with the quarterback's eyes and not necessarily guarding grass.
Cody Alexander, matchquarters.com, outstanding stuff. Now, what do you think about the defenses that are doing it the other way and having – less attempts to be complicated like Houston? Are they underperforming what the potential is, or are they so talented that their talent offers a layer of unpredictability in there that it allows them to be optimal essentially?
So even in their, so they're really good at it. I think the one that's another outlier is the Browns, just because they play so much cover one, which I think a lot of that has to do with personnel. So when you talk about simplicity, the better your personnel can be, the more simpler you can be. A great example of this is actually going to be in the national championship. Miami and Indiana run the exact same defense. Indiana uses a lot of simulated pressure, so you have no idea where people are going to come from. They do a bunch of disguise on the back end, but that's because they don't necessarily have the premium guys. Don't get me wrong, they have good players, but they don't have like all the future NFL guys. Whereas Miami has a bunch of future NFL guys. They run a much simpler scheme. So, yes, the Texans, for instance, are being more simple. And really, if you look at it, that entire tree, the San Francisco and the Packers are all kind of lumped in there with running more simple structures. But what they're doing, though, is within that is the nuances of, like, the Texans play a bunch of quarters, and they play a match quarter. So it's not your zone-based. It's not guys just kind of floating around, you know, making sure they're moving around, they're communicating, they're doing different things depending on what formation you're going to get there. So it looks static, but it plays a lot more dynamic once the ball is snapped.
Cody, when we always get in this discussion about does pressure help corners or do the corners help the pressure? Where do you is there an answer for that?
I think that it is definitely pressure helps the corners. And I think that if you go and you look at some of the most efficient defenses, they're going to have a lower time to throw. They're going to have a higher pressure rate. You don't need to have an elite pressure rate, but you need to have a higher pressure rate because it gets that ball out quicker. The longer you have to actually defend, the more likely you're going to lose your guy. Somebody's going to get open in his zone. You're going to get moved. You're going to move. And so I think that, to me, the pressure has to be there. But when you can tie them both together, when you can get elite pressure with really sticky coverage, that's when you get that real special defense.
Give us something to look for in tonight's Steelers-Texans. All the talk is about the Houston defense. The Steelers have done some great things this year as well, maybe not as comprehensively, but a lot of fans have wanted Tomlin out. They say he's outdated. What does Cody Alexander say about this?
I would actually argue that the Steelers' defense is a lot more diverse than people give them credit for. They've kind of pivoted to a lot more kind of split field looks. This used to just be kind of a cover three, cover one team. They're a lot more dynamic with that. I think the matchup here is going to be Pittsburgh Steelers love their tight ends. They want to get the ball to their tight ends. What is the one of the best things that the Houston Texans do is they eliminate your checkdowns. They eliminate your tight ends. They eliminate your running backs. So though Rodgers is going to want to get the ball out really quickly, they're going to have a really difficult time getting it to their tight ends and their running backs because that's pretty much what the Texans have develop their defense for. So I think that's going to be a really, really interesting matchup.
Terrific stuff, Cody. Enjoy this divisional week, and we'll look forward to catching up with you soon, if you don't mind.
Yeah, definitely. Anytime, guys. I really appreciate it.
Let's go. Take care. All right, it's the G-Mag Nation here on 105.2 The Fan. That was a good get, Wolchuk. Really enjoyed that conversation.
Good pull.
Wow.
Was that good, Brian? That passed the smell test to you?
Holy geez, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a guy that, you know, he's got some passion, you can tell, for what he does, but he has an understanding.
Yeah.
Because in the media, we're wrong a lot. This guy, yeah, he understands, you know, what guys are trying to do, what teams are trying to do, what coordinators are trying to do. We're sitting there trying to guess if it's covered two or not.
More, know? Please. All righty. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. We got the C-Note coming up next. We'll reset you on that news and react to what Wolchuk told you mid-interview there about the Cowboys defensive coordinator interview plans. That's coming up next.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
The Nation. All right, welcome back, Nation. It's time to hit the C-note. Cowboys news of the evening, and the defensive coordinator news is flowing out of the Star once again. Let's hit it here. Segment's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. I want to take my four-year-old to court after how she did me over the weekend. She kneed me in the upper lip so hard, I felt like I got punched in the nose still. Like, my nose is tender, like I was in a prize fight over the weekend. I don't know. Is that my own negligence for how I've raised her and not kept her accountable? I've been trying for the better part of the last year to get her to stop kicking my ass, basically, and she won't stop.
Oh,
this was a devastating Muay Thai knee. I think that's how you say that.
Yeah.
Just wham. You know, she wanted me to go get donuts. And I was like, yes, we are going to get donuts.
But you weren't moving fast enough, were you?
No, I think I had stopped and I was watching TV or whatever. This was like 8:45 in the morning. You know, I'm groggy. I'm like, just give me a minute. We're going to get the donuts. And she dropped a hammer. Anyway, as I mentioned, sorry, I didn't mean to bury this. But I felt it was newsworthy because every time I talk, I can feel the sensitivity in my face.
No.
Yeah.
Sounds like she's got a bright future in ass kicking.
She better.
That's kind of cool.
You know, put her in some MMA, Muay Thai.
There better be a payoff to this because I am the tackling dummy or the karate dummy, okay, or just dummy in general. I don't know. But the Cowboys did interview Aaron Whitecotton. Morning News says this could be the intrigue for why would you be interested for a guy that was part of such a crappy defense, right? We've talked about that. They say he's perhaps the only potential in-house candidate because he's one of the only assistants not tied to Eberflus. He coached the defensive line after spending 4 years with the Jets. This feels like a long shot, though, considering he's never been a DC, but it would be interesting. Might be a respect, you know, kind of thing. He'd been around people like him. But, hey, you liked him, so maybe he is a serious candidate. It's hard to say. Like, last year around this time when we first started hearing about Shoddy, it was like, no, they're just, you know, doing him a solid. This isn't a real candidate, is it? And then the more we found out, the more we liked about it. You also have the former Arizona Cardinals head coach, Jonathan Gannon, he's going to have an interview. And Zach Orr was DC with the Ravens, right?
Yes. And he was with Shoddy. They've got crossover from their time in Jacksonville together. So, and of course, DeSoto, North Texas, Mean Green legend. The last 2 years, it's been a little bit of a struggle there in Baltimore, but he is very, very well respected and definitely is a position coach. The other two names, I know Nick Harris threw out the possibility of Chuck Pagano interviewing, which is, look, he's a longtime guy that's had tons of success as a defensive coordinator, was a head coach with Indy from 2012 to 2017. It's just wild because his last stint as defensive coordinator was with the Bears, and that ended in 2020, and then he was out of the league. He was doing stuff with Pat McAfee until this year.
Somebody hired him back.
Yeah, so this past year he was the senior defensive assistant secondary coach with the Ravens. So he was out of the league from 2020 to 2025, kind of doing that Phillip Rivers thing. We're like, all right, let's give Homeck another shot here. So maybe Pagano, and I know Bobby had mentioned the name, Sean said this morning, Jonathan Cooley, the Panthers secondary or passing game coordinator, and he's got a resume going back with the Rams. He was there for 3 years, was part of that coaching staff that won a Super Bowl there, and then has done excellent work with the Panthers. I mean, we mentioned Mike Jackson during crosstalk, who was with the Seahawks.
Panthers or Jacksonville?
He's currently with the Panthers.
Oh, with the Panthers.
With the Panthers, yeah, Jonathan Cooley. So those are another two names that could possibly get added to the list.
All right, looking forward to learning more about these guys as this interview process continues. And, you know, with Zach Orr, I would say the Ravens just got hurt, you know, and then they didn't have any edges or good corners by the end of the year. Jair Alexander kind of just didn't work out for him. Chido Awuzie was good at times, but he, you know, got cooked on that game ender. And then they could not rush the passer at all. Like, it was shocking how unhurried Aaron Rodgers was Sunday night, you know, to allow the Steelers to get enough points to end up winning that game. Like, he has been on the run and rattled and seeing ghosts the majority of the season, which is why he barely threw for 3,300 yards or whatever it was. But he was quite comfortable back there and made the Ravens pay for it. Hey, congrats to George Pickens, Brandon Aubrey, and Kevontae Turpin for being named to the NFL All-Pro Second Team. That's, a chance to re-engage in this conversation with George. Obviously, congrats to him. A breakout year where you're heading for, yes, I am going to get more money than I'll ever want to know what to do with. We have generational wealth. But now it's like you can imagine the top of the money. You know, you could imagine making $200 or $300 million here over the next 4 to 5 years if you were George Pickens now, based on the way that you have played. From that, yeah, he could be a second wide receiver to bona fide one of the top 5 or 6 in the game right now. And congrats to the Cowboys as well. Just an absolute dream of a trade. I don't know if they're net ahead after everything that they've done in the trade department. Like, they don't have very many hits over recent years, like a 4 for Jonathan Mingo, but just a 3 for George Pickens. One of the great trades in DFW sports history.
Absolutely. They crushed it with that one, man. The two big swings that they had that they definitely hit home runs on were Javonte Williams and the trade for Pickens.
Okay, then of course you can talk about Aubrey, one of the top kickers. Kevon A. Turpin, I don't know. Like, I guess he had the most yardage, but that's because they were constantly getting scored on.
Yeah.
Of course, he broke the Cowboys' record for most return yardage in team history.
He got the volume. He's a volume shooter of kickoff return specialists.
Yeah. But
I've never seen a fan base get so mad that one of their players was an All-Pro. But it happened, and I get it.
The Turpin uprising, it's really started, and I can't say that I disagree. I wanted more from Turpin, and there's times where it seems like he's leaving a little meat on that bone.
Do you think he'll do the fake fair catch in the flag football?
And nobody's better at just, hey, let me let this thing hit at the 10 and just roll down to the 2 or the 1 yard line for you, so you can just have the worst field position in the league.
I'm seeing a lot of weird punt returners doing stuff.
What are we doing? I mean, are we like just not coaching these guys anymore? Are they just like crapping their pants in the moment they see the ball come and it's like, oh no, what do I do? Brain fart. I just go into a fog.
That was bad. That was a coachable moment right there. But I mean, overall, I like having Turpin on the team. I think what Brian said is interesting, that now he's more involved in the offense.
Yeah.
I'm sliding him back to just a special teams player and making way for the emergence of Flannoy just a little bit more.
Yeah. All for it, man. Focus on returning.
It was a great idea last year, and Shoddy gave it the best chance. They put him in the backfield early and often in training camp. Like, they gave him an opportunity to do everything. And you found that in an emergency, like having this guy as your 4th or 5th receiver, it's not the end of the world. And there were some routes in there. There were some plays down the sideline where he really, you know, acquitted himself, but not enough to have him, you know, be that much of a member of the offense. But I wanted to, you know, really talk more about George Pickens and, you know, where this goes from here. Are they going to, for the first time in the Jones family ownership, pay 2 number 1 wide receivers? Like, this would be an unprecedented move. Is he so good that you just cannot let this guy go? And then how likely is another holdout? You know, because Jerry has shown he likes this. How many times has he done it with Dak and CeeDee Lamb and even Zach Martin and Micah Parsons, like we talked about it? This appears to be, and this idea actually picked up traction last year. So I've been thinking throughout the season, there's no way Jerry would subject us to this again. Like, do we always have to have the number one holdout? And I think if it's possible, it just seems so likely, because the Cowboys could tag him. But now that you make second team all pro, like, you got to claim for $35 million plus. That's like a 25% difference in what the Cowboys can keep you for and what your reasonable ask is.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're clearly going to try and play the tag game with them. And it's just hard to fathom that just goes super smooth. And maybe it doesn't matter because you get things done before training camp or whatever. But throughout the offseason, it's going to be a huge talking point because, yeah, I just don't imagine that him and the agent are going to be comfortable playing on that number. So there's going to be some type of fight going on. Now, maybe they're comfortable with tagging him and letting him go ahead and peruse the market and see if another team's willing to give him the fatty boomba and give up picks for it. And the Cowboys will probably be fine with that. I'd be fine with it.
Yeah, I would be fine with it as well. I wonder how the Cowboys look at it because, I mean, he's very marketing friendly, I would imagine.
Yeah,
like Pickens
jerseys.
Player, oh, the Pickens absolutely. Jerseys. There's so much that makes sense and checks every box from a Cowboys perspective. I think this comes down to how Pickens is going to take that. And, you know, some guys look at it like franchise tag, that's awesome. You know, other guys would look at it like that's not enough. I think for the first round picks that have already accumulated a very significant amount of money by the time they get there, they have the security from with to negotiate upon. But if you're a second round pick, you're coming here and like $28 million is 2.5 times what you've made at this point up into your career. Maybe it might even be a bigger multiplier than what it is. But whatever the case, George Pickens is about to get paid. And he seemed very nonchalant about it when we asked him about it in training camp. Like, would you want to be a long-term member of the Cowboys? Would you want to start negotiating a contract now? And he actually said, you're going to get paid no matter where you are. You know, so he might have less of a desire to get in there and like intensely manage it. And he's just looking at it like the money's going to come when the money comes, because I don't get that hurt. And obviously I'm awesome, but I think I'd want to strike while the iron is hot right now, after the career has been what it is, 3 years of pretty good production, but they're talking about you like your wide receiver number two. And then you're part of this offense that, you know, got you the ball for 1,400 yards and 9 or 10 touchdowns. I think now would be the time to lock in like long-term guarantees. How about for Aubrey here? All of his misses were over 50 yards, second team all pro. I'd be disappointed if I'm Aubrey in that. I need to be first teamer.
Yep.
But looking around the league, there's been a lot of missed kicks. I think you want to make sure that Aubrey is a Cowboy for life, or at least a Cowboy until something bad happens in his career, like Dan Bailey.
Yeah, I mean, look at Green Bay and Philly today. You know, they're looking at their kicking situation and saying, did that cost us a chance to advance? You know, with McManus and of course, what's happened with Elliott this year, missed extra points. That's something that Dan Bailey doesn't. Or excuse, why do I do this? Brandon Aubrey. Mm.
Dan Bailey's burned into your brain.
I mean, he was fantastic, and then all of a sudden, you know, you go to the Vikings. That was a shocking day when they cut him. But Brandon Aubrey is one of those guys. He's super reliable. I know at the end of the season, stuff kind of got a little wonky on him. But they ask him to do a lot, man. I mean, if it's like every 50-plus yard kick, go out there and make it. And for a while, he had us thinking he was Mr. Automatic.
Yeah. I mean, and yesterday comes just a week after Baltimore lost a trip on a chip
right.
shot. Atlanta might have been a playoff team if they would have had their kicker situation figured out. They had Dan Bailey, they'd have been in the playoffs. Okay, we got Krusty's Corner coming up next. Brian, where are you taking
us? Yeah, I got some questions from my guys. We'll do that next.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit nationaldebtrelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit nationaldebtrelief.com. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Mom, Dad, I just have to say, it breaks my heart watching you stress over dinner every night. This year, I don't want you doing the fridge stare down. Hot take. With the new Blue Apron, eating healthy is easy. They've got pre-made and one-pan meals with plenty of balanced nutrition. No subscription needed. You could be plating like a chef instead of negotiating with leftovers. Make it your healthy, tasty, and easy 2026 dinner resolution. Just saying.
Get 50% off your first two orders plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. Time now for Krusty's Corner. It's brought to you by Greystone Roofing. Go to greystone-roofing.com. Here's the king.
Hey, hey, kids. Your old pal Krusty's going to teach you 5 new words.
You're not wrong about that.
From Dallas, Texas, number 55, Brian Waters.
Thank you very much, Lucius. Appreciate you always playing that. Thank you very much to Greystone as well for being a part of our program. My draft guys that working on the draft, Woolchuck, Dawson.
Yeah, buddy.
I just enjoy watching players.
I'm a draft guy. I need to stop watching players that are not coming back.
You know, it's the worst.
There's nothing worse than watching a player for 40 minutes and then realizing that he is going into the portal for Missouri.
I got to tell you what, I love it, though, when I didn't think the guy was good. I'm like, that's right, you go back to college, you bum.
You refine your game. You're not worthy. You're not ready.
How you choosing your guys? Do you have a system? Like, everybody's different. Like, I tried to spread it out so, like, I've done 70 guys.
Yeah.
And 20 of them are receivers. I tried spread that thing all across the board. So I'm looking at centers and guards and safeties and stuff. Do you have a system that you're using?
Well, just right now I'm prioritizing edges, linebackers, and corners, for the Cowboys. So I guess that's part of the system. But for me, like, trying to figure it out, it really comes down to Googling, ChatGPTing, what are the traits I should be looking for if I was scouting middle linebacker? Sure. It gives you like 8 things. And then I try to watch the tape and see if I notice that, and then try to work that into my vernacular.
But just picking up the players, you're kind of focusing on the position the Cowboys are looking at.
Yeah.
Okay, Zach, you have to do it like me. You have to kind of spread that thing out because we're on all these platforms doing these things.
Yeah, right? I mean, and when I first started, I mean, it was like under your tutelage, and that's how you did it. So yeah. I just kind of followed suit. Now, there will be times that once I kind of get through that list, then I'll kind of pivot to what you're saying there, Dawson, where it's like last year, Cowboys need a running back. So I just went through and tried to knock out as many running backs as I can. But I'll try and get the top 50 to 100 on like the consensus big board lists and then move on to maybe focusing more on like specific need areas.
I'm watching the quarterbacks and wide receivers too because of that Pittsburgh podcast I do.
Right.
Yeah.
And congratulations. I saw your podcast for that hit some good numbers on that.
You know what? Making the playoffs is good for numbers.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
It'd be nice if this team decided they want to do that every once in a while.
Yeah.
We'll be back next year. Our year. Next year's our year.
For sure. Chief, I got a question for you.
What's up?
How do the 49ers keep doing this?
At the 49ers.
My gosh.
How do they keep doing this? Are they that well coached? I mean, how do they find a way to continually lose players and win these games?
I don't know. It's a testament, I think, for sure, to the coaching staff and to John Lynch and bringing guys in like Eric Kendricks off the street.
How about that?
Who can come in and make an impact for you. He's been there for just a few weeks, and he's playing some solid football, made one of the bigger plays of the game right there at the end. You saw some of the plays they dialed up. I mean, you have the reverse pass. Yeah. How about that? Juwan Jennings, who was a quarterback in high school, rated higher than a lot of the quarterbacks that went on to have college and NFL success. And then even the touchdown to McCaffrey and the way he drew that up, where he's out of the backfield going left and then he pivots back right. He's got him on to Kobe Dean. That's a mismatch right there. Credit to Brock Purdy and the way he was navigating that. Clearly the best quarterback on the field in that game yesterday. It's wild, dude. It's wild that they're able to continue to overcome. George Kittle getting hurt is heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And I think we go back to the electrical substation. We're softening the tendons.
The tendons.
We're softening. We're losing collagen. in our bodies. Now you have Kittle blowing out an Achilles. I mean, it's just a disaster, all the injuries that they've had. And ultimately, that'll end up being the reason why they're not going to be able to win a Super Bowl.
Lucius, you're busy right now. I'm asking a question here. I heard that George Kittle made a request for a bottle of Patron tequila in the locker room.
Oh, no.
And the owner sent one down.
Yep.
And then evidently, and he crushed it.
It's like any special Patron, or is it just regular Patron?
I think we're in the owner's box.
Silver.
Yeah, I think we're up there in the owner's box. We're probably trying to get a pretty good bottle.
That's the best they had, probably.
And he requested one, and the owner sent one down for him, and he crushed it while he was.
Got to get a little loose.
I wanted him to ask for some Quavo.
Yeah, that injury probably. Yeah. He'd probably
some
like.
Jose Quavo.
He'd had enough. Dawson, I'm going to ask you this question.
Fire.
How do you feel about Caleb Williams now?
Man, it's interesting you asked that because I was just thinking about that the
that
last break.
That fourth down pass, holy
unreal.
Jeez.
That's
ridiculous. Like USC stuff. When we're watching tape and you're breaking that guy down, that's the kind of stuff you saw at USC.
Yeah, I think he's moving out of the bust. You know, he was still 50% completions in that game. But
48
I think it was,
passes, I think, attempted.
I think it was 15 yards an attempt or – Yeah, or you know,
I think it would end up being 9 total, 9 points,
9 yards in attempts,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
15 per completion,
right.
Okay, so 15 per attempt would have been insane on his 48 attempts or whatever that was. But no, I think he's moved out of this guy could be a bust. He's not elite, you know, but he's somewhere around the top 12 best quarterback in the NFL right now.
Zach,
yep.
Saquon Barkley had 100 yards rushing yesterday. 26 attempts. He was stuffed 7 times. Why?
Offensive line is no longer dominant there anymore. They have dealt with a lot of injuries, and they've had a drop-off right now.
Is that something we're going to see going forward with these guys?
I do, because I don't know Lane Johnson. I'm sure he's going to continue to play, but I think Father Time is certainly starting to show up there, you know, physically, the body with the injuries, and also I wonder if we did a deep dive in watching Lane Johnson, like would we notice, okay, he's kind of like we started to see a little bit with Zach Martin. You know, is he quite the same dominant level of tackle? Now, he might be, but, you know, that happens. I still think Jordan Mailata is great.
Yeah.
Landon Dickerson was playing really from week one, banged up and injured. Cam Jurgens is a guy that I think maybe has been a little bit – he's been good. Mm-hmm. I don't know that he's great necessarily. I think he was helped by having great players around him and now losing Jason Kelce. You're on, you know, year two of that. So I do think it was pretty apparent, like this offensive line that was a huge reason why they won the Super Bowl last year because they were the best in the sport. They fell off their standard. And I don't know that they're ever going to get back there. That might be an area that they look to address this offseason. Maybe it's through the draft. Maybe they're a team that starts hunting some of these offensive tackles to try and get ahead of replacing Lane Johnson.
Chief, I'm going to ask you this question. Puka Nacua, the most clutch wide receiver in the playoffs?
Ooh, I mean, I hate the blemish that he has with the one big drop there in that game versus Carolina. But he is... I mean, he is as fun of a player to watch from a clutch standpoint. I think he's right up there. I'm trying to rattle off in my brain right now who I'd be trusting more. But he's such an all-around dominant player. It's crazy.
Hard to cover, right?
Hard to cover. Tough as all hell. Catches in traffic. And then the blocking aspect to his game is lethal. And so he's all around. When we start doing our off-season position group lists, mm-hmm. I think Puka is going to be – he's easily a top three receiver in the NFL.
Mm. That's good. That's a good analogy there, I think.
The only guy that's comparing in my mind is Smith and Jigba. Like, if you got to pick one
JSN.
Guy.
Yeah. And, you know, we'll see.
We'll see, coming next up. Week. But, yeah. I think when you watch Puka play, I mean, it's amazing what he does. Dawson, I'll ask you this. Carolina Panthers, they turned the corner with their roster in this team?
Yeah, they have a decent identity on defense, and you know they can stop the run. They could be tough up the middle of it, and Stink was telling us about that on Cowboys Week, and it continues to be true with them. I think offensively,
They need more than Tet McMillan. I guess Rico Dowdle is a free agent again, yeah. So I don't even know if you'd want to bring him back.
Sounds like he's interested in moving on.
But they've raised the floor of that roster significantly. I don't know if it can get over the top or anywhere close to that, but at least they're respectable.
How about this one, Wolchuk?
Yep.
How are we so wrong about Drake May?
Well, I mean, I liked Drake May. I know you did not. I thought he had some Josh Allen-like tendencies, but I did put him behind in that draft class. I think he was my fourth quarterback because I had Penix as my number three guy. So, I mean, I liked May, but, yeah, he looks like he could end up being the best of that bunch. I mean, I still think Jaden Daniels is awesome. He was my number two quarterback that draft. Caleb Williams was one. But, you know, I think we probably underestimated the drop-off in wide receivers because they graduated Josh Downs.
Yeah, he took a lot of blame for North Carolina's problems.
Yeah, and I think that the weaponry around him, offensive line, wide receivers, I think that that probably made it look a little bit more challenging, and we put too much of the blame on him than what we're seeing even at the NFL level now with Josh Allen. Like, as great as Josh Allen is, you've got to have help as a quarterback, no matter if you're, you know, John Elway to Joe Montana, all these guys. I mean, you have to have help around you. So I think that that was part of it. And then it was also just kind of the feast or famine nature. You know, there were times where he'd make a play that your jaw would drop and say, wow, that's an NFL throw. There were also plays where it's like, these are moon balls that nobody has a chance to catch. So it was some of the inconsistency in on the tape in which we saw him play. But the talent was there. There was no doubt that he was a really talented player.
Chief, I ask you this question.
Mm-hmm.
What qualifies for a stinky game?
Ooh.
Because in the break, you guys, and it's one of the questions I added, was you guys were kind of kicking around like, I hope this game tonight's not a stinky game.
Yeah,
what qualifies for a stinky game in your eyes?
A lot of punts, a lot of turnovers, a lot of penalties.
Anybody rip cheeks in here?
Not me.
Catching a whiff again.
I didn't want to.
It's coming through the air vent.
Okay.
Oh, is that right?
Because it smells gas.
Somebody's farting into the air vent.
It smells like there's a lingering rotten egg fart.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, well, somebody's just peeled
hard. Does anybody know where DJ Pridemore is right now? Is he working on the HVAC unit?
What is that? Sulfur? Like, sulfur smell?
Yeah. The problem this morning, RJ was like, he was crushing.
Yeah, he was.
RJ
he
was trying to get through a segment and Sean wouldn't let him do it.
I was cooking breakfast at the time listening to that, and I was just being made sick.
Yeah, Sean was just, like, RJ was, like, going on, and then Sean just kept bringing it up. Like, what are you doing over there?
I think
there?
It might be this smell. I think this might be the smell.
It seeped into one of the
chairs. If anybody could have a fart linger, like, 7 or 8 hours, it would be choppy.
It would.
He admitted that and Sean was, like, disgusted with him. I mean, completely, but stinky game, a lot of interceptions. Dawson.
Yeah, I'm thinking the punts, the turnovers, you know, I mean, that's, and then just super low scoring.
To kick off.
Check downs on offense, 3 yards a carry, and punts,
field goals.
Basically, see the Chargers from last night.
How about you there, Willie, to finish this thing out?
Yeah, the field goal kickers are just rotating on and off the field, and it basically just turns into, hey, which kicker's the better one? And it's a 6-5 game.
I'll tell you what,
safety mixed in.
Some fan bases learned yesterday or the last couple of days their field goal kicking's not very good.
Nope.
Not very good. Thank you, guys. Appreciate you.
Thank you. Brought us Krusty's Corner every afternoon, 3:40 here in the G-Bag Nation. Okay. We got to run. We'll come back with some more sports content in the form of the Daily Football Fix, Wolchuk.
Let's do it. A new addition to the Laugh Bracket post-game speeches in Skybang. That's next.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.